Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Raven Podcast with your hosts Michelle Ampillo and Mandy M. Roth, where they'll talk a little about everything and a lot about nothing.
Hi, and welcome back to the Raven. This is Michelle Pillow, and with me is Mandy Roth.
Hello, everyone.
Running around doing something, I'm not sure.
Yeah, the dog decided she had to go to the bathroom at the last minute, of course, because her timing is impeccable. Come on.
We're such professionals.
She's laying on my foot now, refusing to move in the garage.
I think we're supposed to pretend like we're in this really fancy studio being paid millions of dollars
to be here. Oh, yes, yes. Hey, is that Hugh Jackman waving at us?
Teal bathrobe and on the phone. You know our secrets.
My holy sweatpants, yeah.
Anyway, we've got an exciting show today. Today we have Desiree Holt, who also writes as Judith Rochelle, will be joining us in, I think, about 10 minutes. We will be talking about bizarre sex acts in history, precognition and telepathic communications, basically ESP, and whatever else we digress into, which happens often.
So far, a dog going to the bathroom.
Yeah, you know what? Speaking of pets, I do have a story. And Mandy told this, and she was laughing really bad at me. We have a little beta named Mark. And I was on the phone cleaning, and I was, like, just cleaning out his little vase bowl. And the thing, it jumped from the coffee cup I was trying to pour him into, jumped over the lip, and went down the garbage disposal. I know that sounds awful.
It's a beta fish.
Yeah, it's a beta fish. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is so bad. And I'm reaching down there, and he's wiggling around the garbage disposal, and it's just not working. I can't get a hold of him. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And about that time, our dishwasher decides it's going to drain. Well, for some reason, it was clogged that day, and it drains up into the sink, and I'm sitting there watching, waiting for this fish to come up. It never did. And then the water drains back out, and I'm like, I don't want to have to do a mercy killing, you know, because betas can live forever out of water. And so basically, I filled up the sink again, kind of swished it around in there, and up he swims. That fish is still alive. He survived my garbage disposal, which was, you know, disgusting because it was clogged enough to back, you know, flow. And he's still alive and kicking.
I really thought you were going to call me the day after and be like, shock took him. He's, you know, now in that great big fish heaven in the sky.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. That could have been a catastrophe at the Pillow House that day. But, Mark the Fish. I'm telling you, if you have kids and you want to get them something, a betta. You know, when I was little, I had goldfish. And those things crocked, like, all the time. They're just gone. You know, jumped out of the bowl, instant death.
Yeah.
You looked at it funny, dead. Yeah, get them a betta. Those things will last through a garbage disposal.
I remember having those little frogs in the fish tank, and I remember them not being in a fish tank anymore, and me saying something to my mom, and then her doing the silent curse under her breath, going, you know, Rick, we have to look for them. So that was it.
No late night trips to the pet store trying to find a goldfish.
Yes.
But that's my story for the week. That was our adventure here.
That was my story for, well, not this week, but a week prior ago. I was cooking a turkey, and Michelle knows this story already. And my one of my family members here, they were like, cook a turkey. I'm like, you know, come on, we just had turkey like Christmas.
Sure that wasn't me?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you count now, you know.
Should I tell them that I have 4 frozen turkeys in my freezer and I don't even cook turkey?
Oh, my God.
And, okay, how bad is that? It's like a gift to my husband.
I'm a pretty good cook, so this is really, really funny. As I'm going through the day, and I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's kind of taking longer to get done. And I'd use one of those Reynolds bags to put it in so I didn't have to, you know, keep basting it in that. And it's just taking forever. And I'm looking for this pop-up thing that I know I put in the turkey. I mean, I know I put it in there. I'm not that, you know, far gone that I can't remember 15 minutes ago. Now, 20 is a different story. But I'm looking for this, and I'm not seeing it, And finally, you know, I'm like, this thing's got to be done. I get my own thermometer out. You know, I poke it through, and, you know, it happens in that. And then I bring it out, and I open up the thing. I had cooked the turkey upside down. I shit you not. Completely upside down. And
you think that's a funny catastrophe? And me, I'm like, and?
My middle one looks at me in the middle of eating. He's like, you should cook it upside down all the time. It's really good. I'm like, can you not help from the sidelines? Thanks.
Say to you, it's like a cooking catastrophe. And me, I'm like, hey, you got it in the oven.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, but hey, you have a release today.
Yes, and you had one yesterday, day before.
Yesterday.
I lose track of time easily.
Me too.
Well, first I should probably give the listener call-in number.
Yes.
It is 646-595-3998. It is a New York number, so long-distance charges do apply. For more information on using your computer to chat live with us during the broadcast, visit ravenhappyhour.com and follow the prompts to Raven Radio. It's really easy.
Yeah.
You can also email us questions directly at ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com. We probably won't see them today's show, but we will get to them next week.
Mm-hmm.
And so anytime you want to email us with questions or topics you'd like us to talk about, please feel free to do.
We slide them right over into a folder.
We're going to talk about turkey and fish, you know, in the garbage disposal if you don't give us
something
to talk about.
Or my dog going to the bathroom again, which we really don't want to have to go there.
Do yell that one.
And she's now asleep on my foot again. She came with me, and now she won't leave me. She's like, best friends forever.
Yeah. BFF.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we have, you know, like we said, we have a very special guest today that we're very excited about. She should be coming on in probably, like, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I want to talk about your new release. First of all,
I want to talk about yours. So
yeah,
I win.
First, you get to go first, and I called it meh.
No. Yeah, you have to go first.
Mandy has a new release, Magnetic Attraction, from
You have to go first. All right, we're throwing down. Let's go.
I don't have buzzers. I'll have to make my own sound effects. Did it sound realistic?
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, beep, beep. I'm shocked that Police Academy didn't use you for the sound effect guy. I really am.
Motor Math Michelle.
Oh,
I do goodness. Have skills. And everybody at home said, are they serious? She doesn't know she sucks.
You know, right now they're going, what the hell are we listening to? We don't know.
Police Academy Radio. Police Academy all the time. Start with show one.
I want to be that soft-spoken girl.
Steve Gutenberg. Rare.
I swear to God we had a point.
I always liked Bobcat Goldthwait, you know, because he's always crazy. He was my favorite character out of this.
I like that soft-spoken woman. He was, like, all mild and meat until she, like, got all, like, nasty.
You know what's sad is that we know these movies.
I know.
And we're admitting it publicly.
I know. If my stepdad's listening, thank you for making me watch everyone. Thank you.
Yeah, deflect it onto him.
Oh, trust me. Oh, my gosh. Okay, now, your new release is part of your call of the...
Nice segue.
I know. Are you, speaking of.
You know what? Mandy had a new cover for Daughter of Darkness today.
You know what?
It's awesome.
Okay, yes. I had Magnetic Attraction from George War's series come out yesterday. It's the second book, and it has Kiwi and Connell as the lead characters. And Michelle likes to mock the name Kiwi for me. Yes, I named her after a fruit. Get over it.
Can I just interject that I won? Okay, go on.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, about them sound effects.
You know I'm doing my ninja pose right now.
Oh, yeah. I got your karate ones coming right now.
Hi-ya! I can do my own sound effects. I told you I don't need you. Hold on, I can do the toilet flushing one too, but it's going to take a jog.
Wait. I don't have that one loaded in. I could use a real one.
My sound effects are, you know, the real thing, unlike your canned stuff. Okay, anyway... Magnetic Attraction, Droid Wars 2, by Mandy Roth.
Yes.
Now available from Samhain Publishing.
Yes. And,
you know, it's a good thing people don't pay us to do all.
I know. You keep cutting out. Dude, you in the call waiting. Seriously.
I cut out?
Yeah.
I'm not getting call waiting. It's your
phone. It's my psychic powers zapping you off. You don't talk about Magnetic Attraction anymore. Oh, I got to take a deep breath and refocus. Didn't work. Okay.
Okay. Kiwi.
Yes.
And Dr. Connell.
Yes. Dr. Connell Blue, I think his name is. I don't know why. I mean, if I say these things aloud before I write them, perhaps I wouldn't
pick
them.
Isn't it Baloo?
Yeah, Baloo. Yeah. And that came out, and now Daughter of Darkness cover, Bellamia, came to me today, and I was very excited. I love it. Great job, Eliza Black. I put it up on my blog and on my website, so if you get a chance to peek at it, I'd like you to bask in the glory of it, too.
MandyRoth.com, and I love her new I think it's my favorite Daughter of Darkness cover, and I love that series. Mm-hmm. And I did get a sneak peek of the book, and I love that as well.
Aww,
and basically, I'm allowed to kiss your butt because, well, you know, nobody else is on here to stop me.
Yeah. Well, I promise I won't show those pictures I have on you now. Thanks. Okay.
What happens in my house stays in my house.
Happens in Houston.
That's you. You're the one with the pantyhose off
pantyhose
your head.
I'm never
going to
let me. Yeah.
Me, I am a lady.
Yes. I believe I feel a static charge of lightning. You might want to move.
Ouch, man.
I'm using my, you know, my mad skills here to sense that you're going to be struck by it any moment. Okay.
So is Desiree on the line yet?
No, she's not, and I want to hear about the call-off series. So,
Desiree, call in. I need you. Today from Allure's Cave, I had Call of the Lycan, Book 3. It's the last of the series, unless I get spammed with mail for more, which usually happens, and I think of, you know, cousins that nobody knew about before. It's called Call of Temptation. The first two books in the series were Call of the Sea, Call of the Untamed, and, yeah, Call of Temptation is the new one. And basically, this is about the brother James O'Connell, for you, those of you who are familiar with the series, who is, you know, one of the princes of a Lycan clan. I love my princes. And basically, he lives a very simple life, except that he hunts werewolves, basically rogue wolves to defy clan law. And killing humans is like one of the most sacred laws that they can, break. So there's this woman out there that's kind of, you know, appeared in the other books, who's out there killing humans, and he's sent to bring her in. And Claudia Hughes is a woman that he saves or tries to save. And it's, you know, likely that she, when she gets attacked by this rogue wolf who's killing humans, she is like the latest victim. And when she, I'm horrible explaining these out loud. Read the blurb.
Yeah. No, I think that Judith may actually be on the line now.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Judith. Sure.
We should probably give everyone the call-in number before we introduce her here. It's 646-595-3998. It's New York number, so long-distance charges apply. 646-595-3998. If you follow the purple brick road, you will find the chat room. Trust me.
Yeah, just go to ravenhappyhour.com and follow the little breadcrumbs, and you will find the chat room if you can already.
Now, let's hope this is...
Hey.
Hi, Judith.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, good. I'm glad it's you.
Yes, it is. Here I am.
Oh. How many times did Mandy hang up on you?
Actually, not at all today.
Thank you.
Mandy and Rocky
Record.
Music.
Yes, wait, I'm marking it down on the calendar.
Now, Judith, you actually write under two names.
Yes,
I do. Go ahead and tell the listeners what those are.
I write erotic romance under the name of Desiree Holt, and I just wrote my first shapeshifter this year, which I'm really excited about because I have a real fascination with wolves, and I really wanted to get into it. And if it sells well, there's a chance that it will become a series.
Excellent.
And then I write contemporary and psychic romance as Judith Rochelle.
And that's straight romance, not erotic?
It's no, it's not erotic. It has sensual scenes in it, but it's not erotic. I have a series out. The first book, Always on My Mind, is already out, and Visions of Darkness should be out shortly.
Okay, who is this out with?
It's with the Lotus Circle,
okay,
which is the newest imprint of Allura's Cave.
Right.
I really got fascinated with different types of parapsychology, psychic gifts, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a five-book series, and in each book, the heroine has a specific psychic gift. In the first book, she and the man who becomes her lover can speak to each other. They communicate, mental telepathy.
Yes.
And he's captured, and she's the only person that he can get a message out to. In the second book, the heroine has precognition, and she gets visions and pieces of visions. The third book is going to be really exciting, I think, because in the third book, the animal also has psi abilities.
Oh, neat.
The girl has a special gift.
You know, we should probably explain psi. For those of you who don't know what psi is, we'll have to just take a second and explain.
Okay, psi is basically parapsychology. It's the Latin term for parapsychology. The government for years has been running different tests and doing different experiments to see if they can identify people that have these kind of gifts and make kind of super soldiers out of them.
A big one I think everyone's probably at least heard of a little bit was Project Stargate. I know
yes.
it has other names than that, but that's a pretty big...
Oh.
As
yes.
in the movie Stargate?
Yes.
Where they go through wormholes to their lands?
And
no,
you know, what's interesting is there's really information out there if you know how to get it.
Right.
And they were very, very nice, and they helped me with a lot of this. The dog in the third book is a Caucasian of Charka, and they are said to have parapsychological abilities to begin with, psychic abilities. So it's kind of between the girl and the dog. So it's just, it's real interesting getting into
yeah.
all of this.
Yeah, it is. It definitely fascinates me to no end. And I had no idea that you actually did what they consider, you know, mainstream titles as well. I've read most of your EC titles. And I have to say that my favorite so far has been, and I'm going to script the name, and they meet and they don't know each other, but he's he ends up walking back in and he's handling her father's estate stuff.
Oh, Where Danger Hides.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
That was my favorite one.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorites, too. I loved writing that book.
I love the dynamic between those two. And how you kept that up so long and kept the tension up and didn't, like, it didn't feel like you were beating me over the head with sex, even though it was extremely hot. You kept it up for a full book. I mean, not just, like, a quickie.
Thank you so much.
And that
can
actually be one of the harder things to do.
Yeah.
It is. It is. Because I know what I want to say and I know what I have to get down on the paper, and sometimes I'll write something and then I'll go back and think, wait a minute, I'm not writing an instruction manual for sex here. So I have to go back and kind of figure out, okay, romance, sex, you know.
Now, you used to manage rock bands, right?
Oh, yes, I did.
I read that somewhere. Does that ever come into your books?
Not
yet. I know I'm going off topic, but we do that a lot.
That's okay. Not yet, but it probably will because I've had a lot of people ask me about it. I mean, it was years and years and years and years ago when Bob Seger was very popular.
Mm-hmm. I love him. Okay, sorry.
Oh, me too. One of the bands I managed was a band in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Bob Seger was getting ready to do his Silver Bullet tour and break in new material.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted an opening act, so we did 10 concert club dates with them, and that was really exciting.
That had to be. And
yeah.
I bet he's a nice guy. He just seems like he'd be nice.
He is really, really nice and not what you would expect at all.
Yeah.
I mean, he earned his stripes the hard way. And
right.
he's just really cool. He was just really cool to be with.
I have major envy right now, just so you know.
If Mandy comes
yeah.
up and hugs you at a conference, just go with it. She'll let go eventually. If she starts to lick, I'll pry her off.
Okay. So, yeah, that was good. I did that for about 4 years, and I booked bands in rock clubs, and I did concerts. We once did a 24-hour rock concert at a ski resort, which is the first and last time I ever did that. But it was interesting, to say the least.
Well, that crowd can get rowdy, period, when enough alcohol is added in the lodge.
Oh, yeah. And security is just amazing. I mean, they require you to have so much security.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys are really good. They do it for concerts all the time. So, yeah, I probably will work that into one of the books that I've got coming up.
I just thought that was so fascinating. I know a lot of times when you do things like that, it's so normal to you because that's just part of your life. You know.
Oh, yeah. My kids grew up with it. My son was a roadie for some of the bands for 3 years, and he just, like, blows it off, you know?
I'm hugging your son, too, just so you know ahead of time.
Yeah, and to everybody okay. else, it's like, oh, my God, you did what for a living? And it's so fascinating because I get that in my other life, too. And it's just, yeah, one of those things where you're like, really? Because it's kind of commonplace.
Yeah.
Or people think you live this really exciting life, and it's, you know, to you, it's kind of, I don't know if you get that way.
Well,
yeah,
okay, you know,
like what? It's just me.
It has its exciting moments.
Yeah,
it really has its exciting moments, and I have some that I probably will put into a book. But it's hard work, you know. I mean, basically, the musicians you're dealing with are children. They look like, they think like children, they act like children, so it's like herding stray cats all the time. And then you have to deal with the concert promoters and the club owners who are like Shylock and they want to suck every nickel of blood out of you. So, yeah, it's hard work. You have to really like what you're doing.
Yeah. Now, how do you find it compares to writing?
Actually, I am enjoying writing much more than I enjoyed that,
really?
Believe it or not. Yeah.
How long have you been writing?
I've been writing since, I can pinpoint it exactly, since May of 2004. I have wanted to write all my life, and a lot of the things that I did, I wrote. I wrote for sports magazines, I did PR pieces, I did a lot of stuff, but not fiction. And I said, when I retire, I'm going to write. And so we retired to Texas and moved into our new home, and my husband said, there's your computer. Sit down in your chair and write. So I was working on the local political campaigns, and when they were over, I sat down and wrote my first book, which I still have not sold and is on its 42nd rewrite, but everything just kind of fell into place after that. I love writing. I love creating stories. I love my characters.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about your new release?
Well, I actually have two things that have just come out. One is a major, major project with the Wild Rose Press called On the Run.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very gritty romantic suspense. And all the proceeds from the book are going to St. Jude's Hospital. The publisher has eaten the cost of production. The editor and cover designer have contributed their salary. And I'm kicking in all my royalties. And
oh,
it's
wow.
The story of a girl who tries to get her sister away from her wealthy, abusive husband. And just as she's ready to try and convince her to make the move, her husband kills her, and the sister is a witness to this. She grabs her nephew and goes on the run, and she knows someone who can help them get new identities and find a new life. They end up in Memphis, and just as they're settling in, the little boy is diagnosed with aplastic anemia, so we bring the hospital into it. And then it's all about how the killer stumbles over them and finds out where they are, and the doctor that she falls in love with who helps them. It was an emotional book to write.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
And I see it's on your Judith Rochelle site.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so everybody, if you want to know about it, go ahead and visit that one. I think Michelle might have the address right there in front of you.
Yeah, it's judithrochelle.com, JUDITHROCHELLE.com.
That's a great cause for that.
Yeah.
Not to mention, Judith's a great writer. So.
Well, you know, thank you very much. I appreciate it. But, you know, we all felt, I mean, I feel I've been very, very lucky, very lucky. And it was time for me to give something back.
Mm-hmm.
And then my new release coming out February 1st with Alora's Cave is Journey to the Pearl, about a woman's search to find the perfect lover.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a lot of fun on the way.
Well, you just had one come out with Alora's Cave, didn't you?
Double entry.
Thank you.
Double entry, yes.
And that's one of their, that's the other side of the scale.
It
super
definitely
erotic,
is.
Is that with the Exotica line?
Journey to the Pearl is with the Exotica line. Double entry is not. Mainly Journey to the Pearl had to do with the number of partners that she had. But double entry was my first attempt at menage, and it seemed to work really well. And it's got some very interesting uses for a birthday cake.
I just imagine Mandy over there. Unclean, unclean. Don't you mess up my kitchen.
Oh, okay.
I think it's great.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just really enjoying it. And I'm enjoying all the people that I get to meet. And I'm enjoying my readers. I mean, every time I get an email, I think, oh, my God, people are actually buying my book, you know. Somebody wants to read what I wrote.
Yeah, and, you know, do you always think, because I always think, not only did they want to read it, but they actually cared enough to take the time to email me. Oh, my God.
I know. It's just, it's totally, totally amazing.
Yeah.
And I save all of them.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think that I will ever get over the excitement of hearing from my readers.
Mm-hmm. Now, we should probably tell everyone again. Now, Judith, can you stay on for like an extra 5 minutes or so?
Sure.
Okay. If you want to call in and talk to her, it's 646-595-3998. 646-595-3998. You're also welcome to hop into the chat and ask any questions there or, you know, doesn't have to be specific. We'll attempt to answer anything, though I wouldn't ask us questions on brain surgery or anything because you might not get the exact
no
answer.
No brain surgeons today.
You could die. Okay. But, yes, Judith will be here with us for a little bit longer. Now, we're going to hop into a little bit deeper talk about the extrasensory perception.
Right.
And sort of what it umbrellas in that. And since this is, you know, Judith's bag of beans with what she's got going on, we'll let her go ahead and get started and tell a little bit more, maybe like precognition or something. I'm going to start there.
I do have a question.
Precognition. Yep.
I had a quick question I was just going to insert in.
Sure.
These things, are these from personal experiences or just things that you're interested in before we get into deeper?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
Well, like precognition and this, is this something that, well, we've had like some people in who have gifts, and is this something that you personally do, or is just something that you've been interested in?
I only wish.
No, me
it's just it's just something I'm really, really interested in. Marilyn Campbell really gave me the courage to stretch myself and try this, and once I started getting into it, I read Christine C. Henn's Ghostwalker series, which is what really started me doing research on psychic gifts and parapsychology. And then Marilyn really encouraged me to do this. Precognition is so interesting because it isn't really what people think it is. It's not like you can touch somebody and answer a question. It's not like the nightclub shows that you see. The visions come to people usually when they're dreaming, or sometimes even if they touch somebody, and they don't always come in a way that you can understand them. They come in bits and pieces. They come in symbols, and you have to figure out how to put them together. And in Visions of Darkness, that's what Mia Fleming is trying to do, because she's getting these terrible visions when she sleeps, and she doesn't know how to interpret them.
Mm-hmm.
So she starts doing research and finds out different things. She touches something. And she goes to sleep, and she sees a hand with a knife, and there's blood all over it. But she doesn't know who the killer is or who they're killing. And then the next day, one of the characters in the book is stabbed to death. But there are good visions, too. I mean, she touches Dan, the hero, and gets a warm feeling from him and sees a meadow with flowers, and so she knows he's a safe person. The sad thing is that people who have the gift of precognition can really help if the police and others work with them, but there are so many skeptics about anything that has to do with parapsychology that a lot of it never gets utilized.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, you think the science community would be the biggest thing, and I find it really fascinating that they've taken so many steps to test it, to either prove it or disprove it.
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing to me that they keep focusing on it so much. And
I
like science a lot.
Yeah, me too. And there are a couple of really great parapsychology institutes in this country, one of which works with the government, and they're really, really trying to find empirical proof that they can show to people that this really works.
Mm-hmm.
But science is not an exact science, you know?
Right.
And this is not an exact science, and so people kind of tend to shy away from it. I just kind of hope that by incorporating it into these books, people will get drawn in by the story and get an interest in the psychic gifts I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I always love to read a book where you can get a little sense of, like, mm-hmm. some, like you learn, even though you're reading fiction, you learn something.
Right.
So
me too. Me too.
I think it just makes for a richer story. I love to learn, and that makes some of the best fiction.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have a couple questions in the chat room.
Okay.
And
I'm slacking.
Yeah. You're so not on the ball. This was so your thing. Okay, you want me to do them?
Yeah, that's fine.
Earlier you mentioned double entry. Can you explain that more?
Yes, it's a menage, and Lauren Henderson gets drunk on her birthday with her girlfriend and makes a sexual wish list of what she wants for her birthday. And one of the things that she wants is a menage. And she happens to have a thing for her next-door neighbor who she doesn't know much about. So her girlfriend, Marcia, gets her next-door neighbor and his twin brother to present themselves to Lauren as her birthday gift. And they arrive bearing the wish list that she made out. And so the double entry comes from the two men and the one woman.
And I'm sure
we
can
use
your
imagination from there.
If you want anything more explicit than that, buy the book.
Exactly.
Email her offline.
Yeah.
She's going to write me in like 2 days going, Michelle, never give my email address again.
I spent more time telling them where slot A and B were.
Yeah, if you want to know more, read the book.
Exactly.
That's a perfect teaser.
Exactly.
That's a great title, too.
Thanks.
Okay, now Carolyn says, hi, Sunshine. What was
hi,
your favorite
Carol.
Book? She wants to know what your favorite book to write is.
My favorite book to write?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, usually it's the one that I'm working on. But I actually have two favorites, and they're both novellas. One was the second one with Alora's Cave, Once Upon a Wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is one that's coming out with the Wild Rose Press Scarlet Rose line this month, the 30th, called Night Ride. I loved that book while I was writing it, both of them.
Now tell us a little bit about that one.
Okay. Night Ride is about a woman named Lily who is fleeing from a disastrous relationship and hides out in a little Texas town. Almost everything I write is in Texas because we live there and I love the state. And she hides in this little Texas town. She gets a job working at this huge cutting horse ranch. And she's actually in love with the senior brother of the three brothers that own it. But he's had disastrous relationships and cut himself off. Anyway, she's there for 2 years, and all of a sudden, every day for a month, someone leaves a lily on her desk. No note. And then she gets a lily with a note that says, tonight, 9 o'clock, if you dare. And at 9 o'clock, a driver shows up with an outfit for her to wear, bringing her another lily. He puts her in the car, and he blindfolds her. And she says, why am I blindfolded? And he said, I'm just following orders. And she keeps saying, should I do this? What if it's somebody I don't know? What if it's a weirdo? What if it's Ridge, the man that I love, and this is the only way that he can tell me how he feels? And so they drive her to, he drives her to the cabin where the man is waiting. And she's blindfolded through the whole evening, but it's very romantic and very hot sex. Especially the part where he takes her on the night ride. They ride on a horse, how can I say it, making love. And she keeps thinking, it's him, I know it's him, I can tell it's him, but what if it isn't? And he has given her some jewelry to wear while she's with him. And after they're finished, after the evening's over, the driver takes her home and then unblindfolds her. She goes into work the next day, and there's a lily on her desk that says, if you want another night ride, leave this lily on your desk. And everybody comes in. She's trying to guess who it is. Is it one of the workers? Is it one of the other brothers? And everybody comes and goes. It's payday. They pick up their check and leave. And she turns back to her computer. She's doing some work. And then she hears this voice, and something lands on her desk, and she looks, and it's the jewelry. He says, you forgot your jewelry last night, and it's Ridge, and he's carrying another lily. I mean, I just love this book, you know?
See, you saying that's going to get my husband in trouble because he's nowhere near that romantic. Right now, I'm mentally pushing thoughts at my husband at work, and I hope he's feeling a buzz and a prick and a ouch. And yeah.
Yeah, you never do anything like that for me. Poor guy. He's going to get beat when he walks in the door and not even know why.
He's like, I tried to teach you how to work the remote, baby. I thought that was Lily worthy.
Oh, listen, don't even talk about that. I was like, after a meeting one night and had to call my husband to tell him how to set the VCR. And don't you think 35 women were having to listen to me go through this? Oh, my God.
I'm the person who needs that call. I kid you not.
Mandy's sitting at her computer with this, like, media remote going, why is the TV changing in the other room? She can't figure it out. She's like, it got stuck on stereo. How does a TV remote control the stereo?
I have to wait for one of my kids to come home to fix everything. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. No, that sounds really exciting. This comes out when?
It comes out January 30th.
Okay, and Carol says that she loved it. It was the first book that ever tempted her to read the ending prematurely.
Oh, yeah, I sent her a pre-release copy.
Yes.
We've gotten to be really good friends, and I sent her a pre-release copy. I'm so glad she loved it. I mean, this was a book where I was able to really combine the level of romance and the extreme level of sex that I wanted, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it just worked out. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. I've been there. Now, do you find that your mindset has to change when you're, you know, maybe writing for one press versus another, or?
I have to change from mainstream to erotica. And also the erotic stories that I write for the Wild Rose Press are not quite as over the top as the ones that I write for Alora's Cave and now for Totally Bound. I can really let my imagination run wild and really stretch myself.
Mm-hmm. Where do you get your ideas from?
Oh, my God. I have a very vivid imagination. And let's see, can I say this on the radio?
I'm sorry, I'll be right back. My dog is apparently having bladder issues, and I'm very sorry. I'll be right back.
That's fine. We don't need you. Judith, go on.
I have a very vivid imagination, and I have a great husband. And I guess the two kind of work together.
Yeah, the support system really does help. When you're a writer, especially with what we do write sometimes.
Yes.
It does, you know, matter having a good support system.
Right.
And
if it weren't for him, I mean, not only everything else, but the way he supports me, I could never do this. And, you know, I took a pen name for my erotic romances because I didn't want my kids to be embarrassed. They're all grown. They're all adults. They're out in business. They're my biggest promoters. They run around telling everybody. My son uses it as a pickup line. He says, do you know my mother writes erotic romance? I said, oh, my God, Stephen.
Does it work for him?
Yes.
That's great. You need to take him to conferences with you.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
That's great.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask if you're planning on going to any of the conferences this year.
I will be going to RT.
You'll be at RT. Any other book signings or appearances?
I have a book signing. Both of them are in San Antonio. I have one coming up February 9th with six other women from my RWA chapter at the Barnes & Noble here. And then in May, the same Barnes & Noble is going to do a major promotion for me with a book signing for On the Run, the book for St. Jude's.
Oh, that's just such a great cause.
It really is.
That
you
is,
know,
totally. I'm back, sorry.
Just jump on in, Mandy.
How's the dog?
You know, she better hope she's got warm fur. It's 9 degrees, and I'm tired of letting her in and out. Oh, my gosh. She picks today of all days to have the issue, right? She's like, it's 10:59. I guess I'm going to have problems now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of good stuff going on this year, and I've got a lot of stuff going on at RT. I mean, I'm going to be in both book signings, and Alora's Cave is really pushing some of the books from the Lotus Circle line, so Always on My Mind and Visions of Darkness will be featured big time, so I'm really excited about it. And then Wild Rose Press is going to do a big thing with the St. Jude's book, so yeah, I'm really psyched up for it.
That's wonderful. What kind of things do you do when you're not writing?
I read. I'm an avid reader, and I've always been an avid reader. I have a personal library of over 2,500 books, not counting my e-books.
It will be over tonight.
3.5 hours.
If you hear somebody rummaging around in there, it's just us. Leave us be. We're happy.
Exactly.
And I have over 1,000 e-books. I read all the time. I golf with my husband, and I am an obsessed football nut. So for six months out of the year, nobody can talk to me on Saturday and Sunday.
Yes,
who's your team?
Pardon me?
Your team? What team do you like?
Well, my college team is the University of Michigan because that's where I graduated.
Oh.
And I never miss one of their games. Ever, 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 ever.
No,
and,
I'm a Buckeye.
Oh, I'm so
sorry. Seven
corners, lady. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm so, just remember I carry a gun.
I love it.
And
oh, my God.
My, for my pro teams, two, actually, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because we lived in Tampa for many years, and were there when the team started, and the New England Patriots, because Tom Brady.
Oh, I'm sorry, did you just get hung up on? No.
Uh-oh, and what's your favorite team?
The Browns.
Okay.
You have to go where the husband's at.
And when they were missing for that little art thing, Packers had to be the replacement.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I have to be a Packer fan around here. Kansas City second. But, if you want a happy household,
Husband's team. There's a very unhappy household here because I also like the Houston Texans, and my husband is a dedicated Cowboys fan. And
that has to get ugly.
The Cowboys.
So, you have to watch from different rooms.
We do. Do you know that from Saturday morning until Sunday night, on football weekends, we barely even see each other.
Oh, you know what, though? If it works for you.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just try to find out if the Packers won or lost to adjust my place in the house accordingly.
I actually didn't ever watch football until this year. I mean, I would come on and I would just stay away because, you know, it was just not my thing. And then I was walking out into the family room and the Browns did something really amazing, and I think it was they fired a quarterback or something. And my husband's like, "Good luck, Charm, sit. Don't move." So every single Sunday, I had to sit in front of the television. And apparently my good luck wore off since they're not in.
So now you can't sit anymore.
I know. I'll be told to go away now.
You know, I was never a really big football fan until about 1980. And I happened to walk into a bookstore. And there was a book there by a husband and wife called How to Watch a Football Game, for people who knew nothing about watching football. And I bought the book. And I started reading it, and I turned on a game the following Sunday, and I thought, oh, my God, I actually know what's going on. And it's like giving somebody that first sniff of a drug, you know? I mean, I've never been able to get it out of my system since then.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, I used to be a football cheerleader in high school, and I still have no clue half the time.
I know.
I'm going to have to go buy
that book. What, are they shooting for two? I don't know what's going on.
I gauge by cheering off what the guys around me are doing.
It's a complicated game. It really is, and there's still a lot I don't understand. But my son probably knows more about football than any other 100 people, so I always call him. He still lives in Tampa, but I always call him and say, is this the information desk?
Yeah. Just when I think I have it figured out, I realize that there are slightly different rules for college.
Oh.
I'm like,
absolutely.
No.
Absolutely.
That's not allowed, and apparently it is.
Yeah, I don't even try to watch college. I take baby steps, one league at a time.
That's okay.
But I'll go for Michigan since you have a gun.
Good idea. I'm a pretty good shot, too.
Yeah. Okay, now we actually, we might as well keep you on. I mean, if someone's seen the show. We're going to move to the topic of some interesting yet bizarre sexual acts from history. And I think Michelle's going to take it from here.
Okay.
She's our expert on bizarre historical sex acts.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just the resident history expert.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Mandy and I were talking about, you know, topics for the show, and I mentioned to her that I had this thing on an odd case. It was basically about bestiality in the law.
Yes.
And in France, Jacques Ferrand, I'm horrible French accent, was caught in the act with a she-ass, I guess, in France in 1750 and was sent to die. Yeah, basically. And the townspeople rallied to the defense of the donkey.
Oh, my God.
And basically, the prior of the convent, who also was like the parish priest and, you know, a lot of like the principal inhabitants of the community, signed the certificate saying that they had known that this she-ass, for years, that it was 4 years old and that she had shown herself to be very virtuous.
A virtuous she is.
Yeah, it was virtuous, well-behaved at home and abroad, never gave occasion to scandal, had never given, you know, and that they were willing to basically bear witness that she was in word and deed a most honest and humble creature.
Are these people for real?
Yeah, and so the guy was sentenced to death because he'd been caught with her.
Oh,
because this donkey was, you know, honest. And, yeah, that was 1750 in France. Don't ask me why I know half this stuff. It was just...
Am I the only person who thought he's so lucky he didn't get kicked in the cojones with the donkey in front of him?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, I think everybody knows punishment enough.
I think so, too.
You know,
good
that poor
Lord.
Donkey, you know. But, of course, it was ruled a virtual ass, you know, virtuous ass, excuse me, which I vote we should all be ruled. Oh, my God, the things that people have done just...
Yeah, and the sad thing is, when Mandy and I have private conversations, they degrade so much more than this.
Oh, gosh, if you could heard what we said when we first read it...
I can imagine, because I think the same things are going through my mind right now.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I'm not even going to take it there. But, if anyone else has heard of bizarre acts that's, you know, or whatever, we'd love to hear about them. Go ahead and email the show in that, because we definitely like to bring up the strange and unusual. I mean, case in point, Michelle's my partner here. Yeah. She's flipping me off on the other end. You feel it?
I'm trying not to laugh too hard into the phone.
Oh, my gosh.
I do have another tale from France if anybody wants to hear it.
Okay. We're scared. I don't know this one, Judith, so hold me.
Okay.
This one was in 1865. And basically there was this French woman who comes home, and she finds that her husband is, like, deathly ill. And... she gave testimony to the police later when she was asked about it. And she, you know, came home, like, it was evening time. She found her husband in bed vomiting, and, you know, she brought him some sugar water and asked him, you know, what was wrong with him. And he said that that same afternoon he went out outside to relieve himself.
Yes.
Basically relieve his bowels. I'm trying to be delicate.
Okay.
Even though we're talking about this. And... he heard their bull in the stables, and fearing for the other animals, he ran without taking time to do up his pants.
Yes.
And he goes into the stables, and the bull had broken its tether, and the animal knocked him down, and he found himself on his hands and knees with his hiney in the air.
Oh, my gosh.
And
the bull behind him?
Yeah, and basically the bull inserted himself.
Oh, my God.
Into the husband's backside. And basically her husband died 8 hours after the accident. But that was her testimony of what had happened to him. Now,
I'm not a bull expert, but...
A vet, but I'm thinking the mechanics of that story. I mean, how tall was this bull?
Exactly. How tall was the man? How strong
how
was the bull?
How desperate was this bull? Did it have no other option? I mean, come on. I can't see where the farmer's ass was at panel.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, if you want to hear, there's more, if it's not too gross.
Go right ahead.
The doctor examined the patient, and he discovered that the backside was bleeding and leaking a slimy fluid, which he presumed to be a result of... a certain thing.
You can see my expression.
Oh. You're doing fine.
Yes. Well, I guess we're not PG rated, so that's okay. I think we passed a long time ago anyway.
You let me.
Basically, the doctor concluded that he had never witnessed a similar case, in his medical opinion, that this man, basically, that's what happened to him.
Holy cow.
Or bull.
And he died from it?
Yeah. It killed him. I think it was like 12 hours later. Yep.
Huh. Oh, my God.
They decided not to execute the bull in this case. Good thing he wasn't, you know, the other way around.
Did he go to that big virtual ass thing in the sky with the dog?
No, they decided that the bull had been upset by a cow and had been brought there to be mounted for breeding purposes. And he had been upset by, I guess, it didn't work out, and so he chose the guy instead. So then it wasn't the bull's fault. So he was allowed to live.
It's never the bull's fault.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess in France, it sucks to be human.
Apparently
okay.
So.
One of the readers in the chat, using a scene, says, now I was 19, and it involved 2 donkeys, a midget, 3 circus clowns, 14 hookers, a fork, penicillin, 10 cases of condoms, and a horse. I didn't think anyone would find out.
He says he's so ashamed.
10 cases of condoms and a horse.
Now, Tony Diamond just came on and said, I don't know how this happened, but this happens enough that the doctor wasn't shocked.
You're kidding. Can you believe
I
am out
there? I'm assuming they're joking.
I got violated by a bull.
Oh, my God.
You know, and
yeah.
I'm sorry, is anybody else thinking who wrote a bull shifter where, and I'm wondering how, and then I realized I wrote a bull.
Oh, my God, you're kidding. Did you really? What's the name of it? I have to get it.
Swear to God. I wrote a bull shifter in The King's Choice. He's a mix on it's another fantasy realm, and he's a mix of, like, an eagle and a bull, and he's, you know, they have this name and this whole thing, and he can shift into either form, and I was thinking the whole time, ew, I wonder if anyone wrote one, and then I'm like, oh, shit, me. That was
Andy's never going to be able to touch that series again.
That was pre-bull in the butt story, though.
Well, at least you know your theory works.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm so ashamed of myself right now. I really am. I'm going to join Tony in the corner. And, oh, my. Yeah, I'm also going to get a pen name now.
Yes. Before you write your next bull story, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, before we have to start wrapping up, oh, we'll leave you all on that happy note. I don't know why I know so many bestiality in French stories.
Parents.
I have a feeling I'm going to be hiding from the public for a while. Judith, do you have anything else that you would like to share with us before we
nope.
start signing off?
That's,
how do you follow up the boom?
I'm making notes. I can't talk as I'm making notes while I'm listening.
Oh, no. Tony says, I'm not going to any more videos.
My stories inspires things everywhere.
Exactly. But thank you so much for having me on today. I really
thank
you,
and thanks
for
staying
us.
Longer with us. We appreciate that.
My pleasure.
And those of you who have joined us, it's judithrochelle.com and desireeholt.com.
Yes, and real quick, one more time about your book for St. Jude, where
yes.
they can buy it and what it's for.
It's called On the Run, and they can buy it at thewildrosepress.com. It'll be out in print next month. And I'll be sending out another announcement. So if they prefer a print book, if they wait till next month, they can buy it at the Wild Rose Press, Amazon, and Barnes & Noble. But right now they can buy it at thewildrosepress.com and at the end of this week at FictionWise.
Okay. And all the proceeds go to?
St. Jude's Hospital.
Yes. Okay.
St. Jude's
Great
is the
call.
Only hospital where they treat their patients regardless of the ability to pay. If you have no money, you still get the full treatment. So,
that's awesome. And rare here. It really is.
Yeah.
It is a children's hospital, too.
It is a children's hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing the things that they do there, not just the medical treatment. So we just felt really strongly about this.
Yeah, and that's awesome that Wild Rose Press would stand behind it. I think that Kathy from there
yes.
may be joining the Northeast Ohio RWA conference in May. I think she's coming to speak and take editor appointments in that there. And that's my chapter and.
Oh, great.
The Cleveland Rocks Conference. We're excited about that.
Yes. And Kathy is a great person. And they're doing some wonderful things. This whole thing was actually their idea. Rhonda Penders, the editor-in-chief, wanted to do this, and she asked me to write the book. And it's just, we just feel the need to give something back because we've all
yeah.
been so very lucky.
Yes.
So buy the book, everybody.
Yes, do. And thank you again, Judith, for joining us.
Thank
yes,
you
thank
so
you,
much,
Judith.
Ladies.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Well, that was great having her on. That was
a
lot of fun.
And thank you to Judith for actually staying past
yeah.
her allotted time slot. So
a lot of people just want to run from us.
We can usually
know
draw
why.
People in. I don't know what it is
yeah.
about us.
I think it's the bull in the butt stories. I mean, we are like an endless supply of these things.
I think people need to take me to parties.
Yeah.
if it starts like dwindling down, you know, I can always just take the conversation there.
You know, I'm going to be at eBay looking for a bull-size condom now, just to screw with you. Just buy the book and stay away from bulls. That's the moral to the story.
Thank you, chat room. Well, I,
you know,
we do have a few announcements that we need to do to wrap up to get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, well, not to get out of the way, but you know what I mean. Next week, we will be talking with guest author Carolyn Ivey,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be discussing fairies, as in the little winged kind.
Yes.
And a bit about original fairy tales. Are they what they told us as children or darker than that? Those of you who are familiar with the original Grimm tales will know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting stuff. And so, yeah, Michelle will be pulling out of history a little bit again.
Yeah, and
I promise not to let it digress into bulls.
If you've got any stories about, you know, the Fae or anything like that and, you know, fairy, whatever, you know, go ahead and email them to us or go ahead and plan on calling in or being in the chat room to share them with us or tidbits about, you know, the mythology from that. And we'd love to talk about it. It's something that fascinates us both.
And that email address is ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com. Or if you want to learn more about the Raven, you can go to ravenhappyhour.com. You'll find links to Mandy and myself. And real quick, I want to, not really a plea, but to let everyone know that the official voting has started for the Brava Novella Contest from Kensington.
Woo-hoo.
And I am one of the finalists. Yay. And I'm encouraging everyone to go read. That sounded so sarcastic.
I didn't have anything better to go with that or the karate kicks again, which I didn't.
I told you I can do my own. I am my own sound effect person. And everyone in listener land is like shaking their heads going, oh, why doesn't Mandy dump her off the show? Basically, I'm encouraging everybody to go read the finalist thread. Pick out your favorites. If it happens to me, be me. Woohoo. Mine is called Bounty Hunter, and voting is going on for a few more weeks now, but you can go to the forum. It's at bravaauthors.com/forum.
Yes.
And go to the official voting thread.
Yes.
And you will have to register for the forum, but it's really fast and painless, and you can register and go vote right away.
Yes, and you're what, like fifth down on the page?
Yeah, I'm five down on the finalist thread. They have all the excerpts there that you can listen,
mm-hmm.
That you can read, and you can choose your three favorites or less if you want.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so go check it out.
Great
story
there, and I really loved yours. I really do love your entry.
Aww.
Yes, I know.
That's why we get along so well, is because we can actually read each other's books.
I know. And then you know what? I want Mountain Captive too. I'm serious. Like, you just have to write just for me.
Did Mandy go dead to anybody else?
Bitch, don't make me get the bull.
Oh, I'm going to be so sorry I told you that story.
They want the link in the chat room.
Okay. Hold on, I'll get it. I'll have to go grab it real quick. I thank everyone in advance for their support of not only me, but all the authors there. There are some really great entries, so I'm going to be happy for whoever wins that. I just posted the link. It's bravaauthors.com/forum.
Mm-hmm.
And I will announce that there are no bulls in my story, not even as secondary back characters.
Okay, let's rub it in, all right?
No animals.
For the sake of the argument, I did figure out what I need. There are Avis Taurus in my book, so they're a nice little blend. And, I didn't have the bull story knowledge prior to writing it, so we do have to forgive me on that. I'm not going to take it back. That book sold great, and it also won an award. No.
But see, at least it's a shifter. Shifters are different. I don't count those as beasts.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Whew. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. We're going to let you go, and we'll see you next week, same time, same place. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.